Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. And I am back with my stupendous co-host who is back from his surgery. His vagina-eating accident has been corrected, and he's back. Say hi to the people.
You know what? What's up, people? Do not believe the lies this man is spewing across the airwaves. That is not what happened to me. I did have somewhat of a surgery, but I'm back. Had nothing to do with what he said, though, but
okay.
I'm back.
You want to deny it, it's okay. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number, 347-826-7435. And we are, of course, glad that you're back, Mr. J.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got no get-well cards in my inbox, got no we-miss-you cards, no nothing, but okay.
You're going to just be petty. You're going to be petty about it, huh? All right. If y'all want to make it up to Mr. J, smoothdrama at smoothdrama.com. You can email him a get well card or here's a picture of my booty card. Hope this makes you feel
better.
Wow,
wait. Hold on. Let's just clear that up. It won't be an actual picture of your butt.
Man. Okay.
From what I heard, there are pictures of you floating around out there. So just let's be clear. Not anything with you on it. Okay, but go ahead.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I'm not even
a couple of weeks ago, so who knows who's over there taking pictures? I don't know.
I'm not even co-signing with you no more.
Okay,
Facebook, Twitter, anywhere you want to find us, we're there. Go to the Smooth Drama Show page. You can join. You can request to join. And Mr. J may consider it.
I invite all to send those requests in. You know, I don't deny anybody. You know, everybody can come in. Really, anybody. Well, not anybody, but you know. I don't want to say we're particular about who we let in, but you know, only the strong will survive. Once you see what's on our page and it's stuff that we talk about and we post, you know, it gets rather interesting. So, come on, yeah.
All right. Well, before we get started, I want to start off by saying fuck Bud Light and everything Bud Light stands for that watermelon margarita beer drink that they made.
But you do understand that Budweiser is not an American company anymore. It's owned by a German company.
I said fuck Bud Light and
Bud
everything.
Light is part of Budweiser, right?
Okay, well, fuck Budweiser, Bud Light, and anybody who bought them, whoever owned them, fuck all of them. And everything.
Are you taking offense to the use of the watermelon? Or how they marketed the drink, or what?
The watermelon beer. Watermelon beer margarita, whatever the hell that is.
Okay.
With the Nelly song in the back. It's getting hot in here. So, no. That shit.
So, you're mad at the company. What about the advertising company that put together the whole, you know, thing? You mad at them, too?
Who do they work for? Who has the final say?
Well, as final say as far as the commercial, obviously
yeah.
Budweiser, but, you know.
Right.
Are you mad at Nelly, too? Because he signed, you know, he gave the okay to use that, you know, his song.
He got a check cut. I mean, you know, that's got nothing to do with him. Hey, just say, hey, we gonna use your song. Okay. Cha-ching.
Well, no. I mean, granted, it is a check. You know, he's getting paid for them to use that. But then again, you know, some artists out there are very particular about who uses their, you know, their music. So he could have said no. But anyway, that's not the argument. I guess you're just saying fuck Budweiser because of,
yeah,
I guess, the commercial itself.
Yes.
Okay. So, okay, everybody out there within the sound of our voices, fuck Budweiser. You still haven't really explained why, but okay.
I said I saw the commercial. It's watermelon margarita. Definitely geared toward those who may look like us or may be predisposed to looking like us. That's all.
Well, okay, I don't really want to digress, but because you've already opened that door, if you're going to basically, you know, diss Budweiser, are we also dissing Popeyes? You know, because they have a black woman as a spokesperson, and she is, you know, selling chicken. So are we also saying fuck Popeyes and all the other commercials, all the other companies out there that in some way kind of send a supposed subliminal racist message or what?
Do you think the Popeyes commercial is racist?
I never said, I'm just asking you. I mean, that's the first thing that came to mind because you think about it, you know, it's fried chicken. The person selling the chicken is a black woman. And then if you listen to the music in the background, you know, love that chicken from Pop. You know, I'm quite sure they got some black studio singers, you know, some studio singers that were black to sing that little catchphrase.
Okay.
So, I mean, my point is, I mean, how far are we going to go with this? How far do you want to go?
But I was just riding on Budweiser.
On Budweiser?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll leave it at Budweiser. All right.
All right.
So what else is going on?
Poland is trying to expedite Roman Polanski over a 1977 child sex episode that he had there.
He had one in Poland now.
Yeah.
Because the other one was over in was over here, you know, in America.
Right. So
yeah.
Who knows how many other countries he's defiled a young man.
Well, you realize that they're not going to ever extradite him for that.
Right. Because he's going to make sure he stays in a country that don't have extradition laws.
Exactly.
Like Poland or the United States. Plus, he's rich.
Meanwhile, Bill Cosby is still being ridiculed for something that nobody can prove if he did or not. But, okay.
You still defending that man. He said.
Hold on. Regardless of what he said or whatever, my point is this. Innocent until proven guilty. All right. Most states, I think in all 50 states, the time that you can file charges or whatever, you know, that's already ran out. So they can't, I mean, really, anybody filing a claim or you know, pressing, you know, filing claims against them now, they're just trying to get money. My point is this.
Yeah.
Regardless if he's innocent or guilty, the fact that he's a black man and a black man of power and a famous black man, they're still riding him on this. Other white men, Woody, what's his face, and Roman Polanski, you know, these dudes, and there's a couple of others out there who have these same types of charges pending against them or who have had charges pressed against them. Yeah, they get pressed. They'll probably get that pressed, but eventually those charges die down. They go away. Why is that not happening with Bill Cosby? Regardless, and I'm not talking about guilt or innocent. I'm just saying based simply on his color. That's the only reason why he's still in the news with this.
Okay.
That must have been alone.
I know, but he pled guilty to it 10 years ago.
So even if he pled guilty 10 years ago, for that one case or however many, you know, whatever the charges were then, there's still, like, I think there's, like, you know, a certain amount of time, you know, and after that time is up, you know, if something was done to you 20 years ago, how can that be, you know, maybe even the crime was criminal, how can you 20 years later, you know, still charge them for something or, you know, bring charges against them? You can't, only in a murder case can you do that. Only in a murder case. Nobody's died.
All right.
But anyway, let's move right along.
I mean, I would hear you, except for he pled guilty to it. So I can't co-sign on anything that he has.
Okay, you know what? And I'm not saying, all I'm saying is this. I'm not saying, you know, just because he pled guilty to one that he's guilty of all the others. Nobody will ever truly know. Because half of the 50-something-odd women out there that have, you know, that have cases against them, you know, even in the legal field, they're saying more than likely half of these cases that people are filing, these women are filing against them, you know, they can't even prove the charges. Okay, so that one time that he went to court 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, and he pled guilty, what was the outcome? He didn't do any jail time. He paid whatever the restitution was or whatever the monetary figure was. And, you know, they more than likely he settled out of court. So if he settled out of court on it, that means that that person who he settled the case with, neither party can talk about it. Even if it's public record that he pled guilty, because there was a settlement out of court, you can't talk about it.
Okay.
You know? So, all right, what else? Yeah, I know I'm coming in with guns blazing tonight, so go ahead.
Blaze away. I don't care. I don't care.
Okay.
Blaze. Keep blazing. Madonna. I don't know if you saw Madonna. I didn't see it because I personally don't watch BET. Madonna had a Prince tribute, whatever.
Yeah, that was the world. It was terrible, but okay.
Right. Yeah, I heard that too. And
Of all the other musicians, artists, whatever you want to call it, that could have helped with that tribute, why her? And the only reason is because the only thing I can come up with, I heard one of these shows they were talking about, because basically they came up together in the industry. They both came out around the same time. Not that they were like music rivals, but they came out at the same time.
No, they did.
They did. They actually, Prince was a little bit before her, but, they both played the same, quote-unquote, I don't say genre, but they both had the same attitudes towards, you know, music and art and, you know, expression and all that. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, see, apparently BET tweeted out a link saying they're going to do their own Prince tribute with a video saying, yeah, we saw that. Don't worry, we got you. And I'm like, well, y'all had us by bringing her on in the first place, because they act like they didn't co-sign on that. And now they're talking about...
She wasn't on a BET show. That was a different tribute.
Anyway.
I'm saying, what?
Go ahead. No, BET.
You're saying that Madonna was on BET. She wasn't on BET.
Well, whatever.
I don't want the listeners to think that I'm debating. I'm just saying, I understand what you're saying. You know, they put out a tweet basically telling people, hey, we got you. We're going to do our own tribute because the one that Madonna did really sucked. I get that. Is that what you were trying to say, or is that what you were bringing up?
That's what I was trying to say. Thank you for clarifying. The thing is, BET sucks.
Well, here's the funny part. Only because the guy, I forget his name, but he's like the second in command on BET now. You know, even though they were sold to Universal. Or Paramount, one of the two.
Viacom,
yeah. It's all the same shit. He's like, you know, it's like no no secret to those that know him or whatever that he's like a truly a diehard Prince fan. So because he has all this power at the network, he, you know, basically commissioned, you know, a tribute to, you know, be put together for the BET Awards, which are, I guess, coming up in a couple of weeks. So, my whole thing is like, oh, but wait a minute, if you have all this power, you know, even before he died, why weren't you programming, you know, when he was letting cable and regular TV have at it as far as having access to his music? Why weren't you programming, why weren't you showing videos or doing things with artists like him and other artists, you know, prior to his death?
Yeah, I think you know the answer to that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, on that note, we're gonna take a break, and we're going to listen to some music that we actually like. You might like it, too, because you seem to like people from the East Coast.
Here we go.
No,
see, there you go. Shots fired. Who is it? Go ahead.
This is Sky Zoo featuring Jada Kiss. See ya, Key.
Go to Subway to combo, conversing in more code. Seem like everything it should be, still ain't beyond those. Putting everything on your leave unless the alarm broke. A team might lead you a key to where the alarm go. Visionary riches turning missionary missions. But fuck if I'm sitting still unless I'm sitting there digit. That's who you reconsider if you consider where we did it. The sweetest shit that you ever dreamed. See you arisen like, wait, hold up. I go to sleep and see key. Sleep kind of different when it's begging you to get it. I mean, I go to sleep at CT. Sleep is out the norm, but I'm with it till I'm on at least. Peep it. I go to sleep at CT, love. Rest is opportunity. Hand over the people. Collect the mind and story. Mag to the reload. As long as we repeating, we'll never be with the repos. Call it high B, but we'll never be with the below. We looking underneath, and we looking up under the seat. Now look up at your belief, and down at your wrist. And you look up at what you need to blow it down on the flip. I'm just looking to get a key, the one for the dog further. And the dream turned into short orders and saw murder. With a fist full of dollars, ignorance is so blissful. Wishful of thinking where that ignorance will get you. You get us where we need, and we'll call it even and leave. Oversleeping, you know it's easier there to breathe. Sleeping in the thought of the above, off the love, the lock is all plugged, and you banking on the key. You get it? Heck, I go to sleep at CT. Sleep kind of different when it's begging you to get it. I mean, people, I go to sleep at CT. The sleep is up and on, but I'm with it till the morning. At least, people, starting to think I need counseling. When I go to sleep, I see 36 ounces. Damn, all I remember was the bouncers telling me put the smoke out. Coke out, yeah. Woke up in the cold sweat, then I broke out. Trying to go back where I left, it ain't right though. You know I'm in the kitchen, chef, straight nitro. Same thing when they take a hit to make the pipe go. I'm hoping I see the same shit the next night, yo. Great power, yeah. We usually don't allow it, this is what it's about. I'ma need my 8 hours. Change come true at the end of the day. I'm pray before I wait that I'm in a CA. Friend, you don't recognize your blessings, send them away. Bash. But let's keep that on the D-Lo. When I go to sleep, I see D-Lo. What? I go to sleep at 16. Sleep kind of different when it's begging you to get it. I mean, sleep it. I go to sleep at 16. And sleep is up and on, but I'm with it till I'm on at least. I go to sleep at CT. Sleep kind of different when it's begging you to get it. I mean, peeping. I go to sleep at CT. And sleep is out the norm, but I'm with it till the morning at least.
Baby, wake up, honey. I know you're dreaming. When you wake up, baby, come to me. for you, baby. Let me be yours. Te voy a enseñar que lo que tú siempre querías puede ser real para ti, papi.
Together you got smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F, the N-Word, and Mr. J. That was Sky Zoo, Sia Key.
Yep, that it was. Yep.
347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, 347-826-7435 is that call.
East Coast coming up next couple of weeks. Too bad. I was just thinking, you know, while we was on break, I was listening to the song, and at the very end, when you hear the girl, you know, speaking Spanish, because we got, you know, over here on the East Coast in New York, we got the Dominican Day Parade coming up, and, you know, a little couple of weeks later, Puerto Rican Day Parade, and then at the end of the summer, we got the West Indian Day Parade. So if you've ever been in the city during those weekends, those Saturdays that those parades are going on, anyway, let's just move right along. See, that's why I need the T-shirts. I need those. I need the T-shirts because I know where to find T-shirt models. I know where to find them now.
Oh, you know where to find them
now? Were we doing the show today? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just speaking out loud. You know, go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, it is time for the dumbass of the week. All right. Your favorite thing, I know. Alabama woman who says that she was pregnant by a black man from toilet paper contaminated with semen. Yeah, I said it. An Alabama woman claims she became pregnant with an unknown man's baby after using a porta potty at the county fair.
Wait a minute, she said it was a black man.
Brittany Thomas says, I used the porta potty at the fair last year after someone else was using it. I found some semen left behind on the floor by the previous user. The toilet paper roll was placed on the ground too. I believe that when I was using the toilet paper to wipe myself off, it was contaminated by the semen on the ground, and I just gave birth to a healthy baby boy with dark skin. Both my husband and I have blonde hair and blue eyes.
I'm going to tear this apart in so many ways right now. Please allow me at least 2 minutes on this. First of all, who uses the porta potties at a county fair, at a work site, or any place? Number one, don't cut me off. Who uses the porta potty? Number two, even if you, okay, let's say if you're a female, and you do, most women that I know that use public bathroom hover. They hover. And 9 times out of 10, if they have tissue, you know, they ain't picking it. They're not using the roll if it's on the floor. I'm telling you that right now. So, you know, then,
no.
I know the article you're talking about. I saw it on Facebook, and I saw, like, they had a picture of her, and then they had an artist rendering of the supposed man who used the bathroom right before her. I don't know if you have read the same article. It was a drawing of a black man with a beard and a high top fade.
Right.
Now, how does she know this from a whole year ago?
Hey.
We're not even going to get into the fact that she just couldn't confess and admit to the fact that one weekend, whatever, when she got away, you know, or her husband Jethro, you know, left for the weekend, she went out and, you know, hooked up with Leon from down the street. But go ahead, I'm going to let you jump in now.
Could have been Billy Bob. How you got to know it's Jethro?
Well, doesn't matter. We know she hooked up with a brother, and she don't want to admit it.
No. You think so? You think that she just...
I've heard that that happened. So, you know, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with that.
I've heard that happens too. Mysterious.
Huh?
I've heard that kind of thing happens from time to time.
Yeah. And down in the South, oh man.
In Alabama?
I've heard it's happening more than that. I heard it happens more down there than they care to even admit to.
You know what? I'm thinking maybe it was during the Alabama football game and one of the janitors cleaning up decided to jerk off because Alabama was winning, and that's how all that happened.
Or maybe, bear with me, she already knew this dude, used the football game as an excuse to meet up, because then everybody's just blending in, you know, black and white, y'all all there, Roll Tide, that whole thing. And they just kind of sneak off when everybody's watching Alabama play Tulane or whatever, one of them schools down south. Ain't nobody thinking about them. And they go and sneak into the little porta potty and do their thing.
That happened. I mean, allegedly speaking, I mean, being that she said it happened at the county fair.
Well, you know, county fair could be code for the college football game.
That's what I said. She said, though, it occurred on April 15th, like tax day.
Tax day last year. So, yeah,
yep.
Somebody waxed that ass on tax day. Yep.
She got her taxes and was, like, happy. And dude was like, hey, you know what? You look like you got your tax. She's like, why, yes, I did. Can I offer you some penis? She said, yes, I would like some penis to celebrate.
Meanwhile, yes, you can. Yes, you can, sir. You can give me some. Yes. And in January of this year, she gave birth to the tax baby, as we shall call him.
Yeah.
And now however many months later, now she don't want to fess up and, you know, admit to how the baby got here.
Oh, so sad. Yeah.
I'm just going to say, in general, people, we can do better than this. But because this did happen to a white woman, you know, people are going to say, oh, Eric, you're being racist. Oh, well, call it what it is. But you only hear white folks do this shit. Folks do dumb shit, too, but this is a white folks thing.
Well, I mean, I found that you can go back and forth, and every now and again, you're gonna get that black person that's like, you know what, I'm going to be extra special this week.
Well, I mean, because, you know, well, I agree with you, but, you know, I just want to say this. Even, I mean, you know, because I missed, I wasn't here for Tuesday, and I don't know if you touched on it, but I know it's two different stories, but it just, if we had our dumb moment, and people are going to hate me for this, but I'm going to say with that whole situation with that little boy and that gorilla. You know, I'm happy that the boy survived, the gorilla didn't kill him, but I'm just going to say this much. Any other time when we hear about a child or anybody doing anything at a zoo, we always think it's the white folks. Why would it be this one time with this one little boy that purposely breaks away from his mother, you know, mother got distracted, whatever, and decides he wants to go down there in the pit where the gorilla is, and gets down there, you know, up until that video or whatever, you know, was played, everybody thought it was still, you know, a little white kid.
Right.
Now, you say, Mr. J, where are you going with this? All I'll say is, you know, that's a good example of a black person or black folks doing dumb shit, because you don't normally hear about black folks doing that kind of shit, so.
Right. Well, I mean, I always thought that, yeah, you it's just bad parenting, because
it
get away from you. But I mean, I also talked about the 7-year-old that got left by his parents in the Japanese forest, and they still can't find him. They was punishing him.
Oh, that shit! They left his ass there on purpose. Yeah.
Right. So
we don't want you no more. No. Let's take him to forest. Yeah. Oh, we go bird watching in the forest. Oh, yin yang, look over there. And he looked one way, they ran the other way. Yep.
Yeah, but
I know that was a very poor depiction of how it went down, but, you know.
Right. Anyway, hater of the week. We're going to move on to the hater of the week. Man, you know about him, the UCLA shooter.
Why is he the hater of the week?
Dude, when you shoot folks, that's hater of the week.
No, I just look at it. Well, in this case, I just think it's disturbed white men who had access to a gun, pissed off because the professor failed him, so he doesn't know how to control himself, and he goes and kills the professor and himself. That's not hater.
Manak Sarkar was not a white man.
No, the professor was Indian or Pakistani or something.
No, the gun.
Because he was not an American professor or one of American descent, that's why he was killed, because he was a foreigner.
No, he said that he stole his work, but he had a kill list that named that professor. There was another professor that he was trying to kill too, but he killed his wife also. So.
You and I both could go deep into this for hours, but I'll just say this much. For all those people out here, and I know I'm about to open up a can of worms, that are so pro-gun, pro-guns, this is what pro-guns get you. This is what, if it's anything more than, I'll say, like a 44 Magnum, this is what it gets you.
Yeah.
Because this dude, from what I understand, didn't have a quote-unquote handgun. He had an automatic rifle.
An automatic rifle.
Yeah.
I mean, these hunters, this is catch-22 when you talk about these gun laws. See, when they talk about taking guns away, they're always talking about taking guns away from us.
Well, yeah, taking them away from us. Or anybody that don't look like them.
Right. I keep mine. I'm not giving my gun away for a ticket to a basketball game. None of that. No.
You see, I know we already, digress from the actual story, but my thing is this. I don't have an issue with anybody who wants to protect their home with a gun.
No.
You can have as many, this is what I'm saying, you can have as many guns as you want. My issue is for these fools out here who want the AK-47s, anything that's rapid fire, anything that you actually have to hold with two hands and it holds, like, more than your normal clip, anything that can take out a small tank or rip through a house, that's what I got. And, transition
right.
that over to hunters. Okay, if you're truly using your gun to hunt with, that's one thing. But why do we have to allow, anybody who likes guns access to AK-47s? You don't need an AK-47 to shoot a bear. You really don't even need a gun. You can use it now if you're really good, but that's besides the point.
Apparently you do.
Well, getting back to the actual story, because, like I said, we'll go on and on with this. My condolences to that professor who lost his life, that's tragic,
And the family of the wife that he killed.
Right. My point is okay, we've heard about it. Okay, UCLA, then we had the situation out there in Virginia Tech. We've had it in so many different places, and it all comes back. You never hear about you hear about shootings with a handgun, but when you have such dramatic killings like this one, it just reminds me of all the other, killings that have happened on such a large scale that weren't done with just a handgun. No, these dudes that decide that they woke up one morning and they want to take out people, they're equipped with like at least two handguns and an assault rifle.
Well, they've
got stuff in their duffel bag.
they're always showing up with automatic weapons.
Exactly.
Time after time after time. I mean, it's like an assembly line of crazy folks who want to shoot up something with automatic weapons, whether they actually bought them or it was their mommy's or their daddy's weapons. This stuff is way too easily accessible, but at the same time, you're in the conundrum because you say, okay, we take guns away, but you're taking guns away from lawful citizens who have done, they're not showing up shooting people.
But if you, I mean, even on that level, on that scale, if you think about it, the way the laws are set up now, granted, anybody, you know, of a certain age or whatever, you pass background checks and all that, anybody can pretty much go buy a gun, you know.
Right.
And I don't have a problem with that. But even in the cases where, like, the dude that I just call the Batman, the guy up in Colorado that you know, in the opening night of the Batman movie,
Batman.
And he killed those people. Right. The Columbine people, you know, just if you take any of the worst shootings that have happened, like, in the last 5 or 10 years, 9 times out of 10, how they got that gun is really the issue. Take the dude that did you know, that killed all those kids up in what was that, in Connecticut, Rhode Island or whatever, you know, 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like
they get
it's
them. They don't get them themselves. Actually, they're getting relative guns, but it's like your relatives have a stockade of guns because they always
exactly.
show up with duffel bags full of guns.
Of guns.
Guns.
And then like, half the time you can't even really interview these guys to find out how they got the guns, because after they've done whatever it is they set out to do, 9 times out of 10, they've already taken their own life. So all you got it, you know, all of the government or whoever is left with is an extensive, you know, investigation to try to, you know, trace how that gun got into his hands and where it originated from. And then what they find out sometimes is like they bought the gun 3 states away, or they bought it, more than likely they bought it at a gun show.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Ways get them from most of the time they're getting them from relatives. I mean, we talk about the illegal gun trade, but the illegal gun trade is not what's getting these fools out there. This is the legal gun trade. It's kind of pathetic, actually, that the same thing keeps happening over. It's like Groundhog Day now. I mean, I would be scared to be in a school in the suburbs, because it's like if you're in the suburbs, somebody's going to show up and start shooting.
And you know what? I mean, we sit here and we're talking about this one incident, but the reality is
we're talking about more than one.
Right. But, you know, but what I'm saying is like the news, like, you know, when this happened yesterday, obviously late breaking, and it was all over the CNN and NSP, you know, all the cable stations, all the local stations, whatever was on TV, it was on immediately, you know, the news director cut in and, you know, that's all you saw on TV, which is always the case. But, you know, I can't help but think, wait a minute, you got cities like Chicago, Baltimore, even my, you know, where I live here, you know, where I'm at in Jersey, you got shit that's going on every day. Chicago, I guess yesterday would make 6 months into this new year, and they're already talking about they're almost, like, I think, what was it, May or maybe April, had a record month for murders. A record month.
But what are we talking about here? We're talking about the fact that so-called minority lives don't matter. They don't count. So if you're killing yourselves, that's not news. That's par for the course. See, news to them, which is hypocritical, is white folks killing white folks because white lives matter. Black Lives Do Not Matter. Thus, we have the Black Lives Matter movement. And that's why it's so reversed, because you'll always see UCLA, but like you said, Chicago, Jersey, hot spots like that, where you have an overabundance of violence that nobody's focusing on because they don't want to focus on it, because then you talk about, oh, you want to clean up them killing each other? It's like, nah, let that shit ride. That's what it is. Let that shit ride.
Let's just move on, because, you know, we could sit on this subject for like 3 days, you know, and still not come to anything, you know.
We're not going to sit on it for 3 days. We're going to go on break. This is Beanie Siegel. You ain't ready for me. Is the call-in number. Once again, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. And caller, you are on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. What is your comment?
Who are you?
I just wanted to comment about the last story with from UCLA. Because it's a trip, because the thing is, this guy is supposedly a research partner of the instructor that he killed. So that right there is letting you know you have to be careful who you let on your team.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I want you to go on with your comment, but who are you and where are you calling from?
Chocolate.
Oh, okay. Hey, Chocolate. Long time no hear from.
Hey.
As you were saying.
So you have to be careful with who you let on your team, because if you guys are supposedly partners and you have a little beef about taking credit, you should be able to talk that out. And then with it being finals, you know, it's a stressful time already. But one thing that I seem to trip about is if you're going to kill yourself anyway, why kill someone else too? You know, just take yourself out. If you're that miserable, just take yourself out.
Because you got to remember, he's angry. Well, obviously he was angry, he's pissed off. So in any situation, when you're mad at somebody, and I'm not saying you'd be able to relate to this or I would, but he was mad, so he wanted to make a statement. But, yeah, you're right. If you knew you were going to kill yourself, why not just go ahead and kill yourself? No. Before he goes out, he's going to take somebody with him. He's going to let people know that he meant business.
Well, I want to say first, before we let you go, thank you, Chocolate, for calling, and call in again.
All right.
All right. And on that note, I mean, I always go back to, if they don't care about themselves, you know they don't give a shit about you. And at that point, they are looking to anybody who they felt like gave them any kind of perceived slight, it's on.
And on top of that, anytime you take the time out to write a hit list or a kill list,
right?
Oh, you've already plotted and planned this out weeks in advance. You know specifically, you know specifically who you want. You know where they are, and it's just a matter of executing that plan.
Right. Well, it's obviously a plan because you wrote a list out. Speaking of writing the list out, because I'm tired of talking about that. We got to give a shout out to Africa.
Okay.
Ghana in particular. Ghana is banning
the
skin bleaching. Like you can't even have it in our country.
Well, that's always a good thing. Now, if they could only ban all the scammers that I know that come from Ghana. But anyway, go on with your story.
You know, they just preying on folks' greed. All I say is this, digressing. If somebody offers you $30 million, if you give them your bank account number and you think that is true, then, yeah, kill yourself.
Yeah. But back to the whole beach thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a start. You know, you got an African nation, you know, a country with, you know, the continent stepping up and saying, no more, we're not going to do this anymore. But that's just one country.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Australia and the United States and Japan have regulations against these kind of products.
Regulations is not the same thing as banning it totally.
Right. Well, I mean, the funny thing is, they did a little survey. They said 70% of Nigerian women alone admit to using skin lightening products. And
yeah,
you know how I feel about that whole lightening thing.
I mean, you got to look like, as far as like African countries, I know this to be true. The more that, you know, like most of those countries become more like, you know, modernized, as far as like industrialized, you know, countries, you know, you're exposed to other cultures. You're exposed to other things that are not, you know, that are not from where you're from. So with the whole skin lightening thing, they've known for years, okay, they've probably been over, you know, decades, just, you know, color shade. You know what I'm saying?
It's colonialism. And colonialism teaches you that your colonizer is the standard of beauty.
Exactly.
And
that's what I'm saying. Like the whole, it's shaming the color. So
right.
It doesn't matter if you're black. If you're real dark, dark black, oh, that's bad. But if you're a lighter version, or the lighter you are, the more accepted you are.
The better you are. I mean, we know that from not just slavery, but just the history of this country. I mean, I have a sister who is a lighter shade who had to go through that. I mean, it's one of those, you wonder, well, you don't wonder. I mean, we know why it is, but knowing what we know now, and as most listeners know, I jest with Mr. J about him being a little bit lighter skinned than me, but I recognize that black is black, and we can joke like that because he knows that I really don't mean it 99.9%
of the time, but it's that 1%.
That 0.01%.
That's hatred. It's that hatred.
Yes. It's in there. You know what it is? It's the Splash Brothers, man. It's just it's that racism where they're so good and they're so light skinned. It's bothering me.
But you also know, I mean, you also know, we might as well just close out the show with all this, but you also know that even when you look at it on that level with the Splash Brothers, that's media doing that.
Oh,
that's,
I know
media,
that.
You know?
Yeah.
Just like with LeBron going against Steph. You know, I've listened to sports radio the past couple of days, and a lot of people are cheering for Steph. They don't come out blatantly and say it, but I've heard one very, I'll just say it's a widely listened to sports, it's a nationally sports program, and a caller called in and basically said he can relate to and identify more with Steph than he can LeBron. And then the radio host said, on what level? He said, just look at him. Just look at him. He's the type of guy you can, you know, have over for dinner.
Yeah.
And the moment he said that, I'm like, I'm waiting for the radio host on that show to say something. But
yeah,
because it was that particular show, I knew he wasn't going to stop him.
All right. He wasn't going to stop him. And so, I mean, because see, there's two ways that is said. See, because as a coach, it's seeing players, they look at Steph like he's not overly athletic. He's a regular guy, and he's dominating the league. That's
right.
What they're looking at on the pure level. On the racist level, on the Cam Newton racist level that we saw this past year in the Super Bowl annex, whatnot, with the folks talking about him dancing, whatever, that's what applies to Steph Curry when they compare him to LeBron James, because LeBron James is the stereotypical buck, overly athletic, big black man, and Steph is the good all-American light-skinned. I mean, not that he it reminds me of when Isaiah Thomas, sticking up for Dennis Rodman's punk ass, got into that debate about Larry Bird when Dennis Rodman made the statement. Because people always blame Isaiah, but Dennis Rodman made the statement when he was like, yeah, Larry Bird is if he wasn't white, it wouldn't be that big a deal. Now, we know it to be true, and Bird was sad because he was like, I got to address this shit. I just want to bust your ass. I mean, he was like purely like, I just want to dog you on the court. I don't want to deal with politics.
Yeah, he was one of the players that just didn't get all into, you know, race, you know, issues. He said, okay, well, you know, let's just see what's what on the court. I can respect that.
Right.
But,
that's what this instance is. I mean, Steph Curry is not encouraging any of this. He's not looking for any of this. Unfortunately, it's at his door. And, there are some people who root against LeBron because of what he represents there as far as an independent businessman, a guy who has taken control and charge. And, you know, business-wise, you know, LeBron still has his homies from high school, and they run his business, and they are multi, they run multi-million dollar projects together.
Right. And then the fact that, you know, LeBron is cool with, what's the billionaire?
Warren Buffett.
You know, it's like, they don't knock him on that end, you know, as far as that's concerned.
You know,
LeBron's very astute with his money. But then everything else, like even how he responded to supposedly his responses to not winning, you know, the MVP award, you know.
Right. Well,
they get him on that. But my point is, just getting back to the whole bleaching, the whole race, you know, like black, you know, light skin versus dark skin, I just look at, you know what, the reality is it's always going to be here. That's the one way that others can pretty much continue to try to control black folk as a whole is with the light skin, dark skin thing. Because if they create the division amongst ourselves, then there's no way that we can all unite.
Well, I mean, that division, it crosses all lines. I mean, we talk about that division, and it's sad because so-called black revolutionaries will be the first one, oh, I can't deal with this, and they always talk about who they need to take out as opposed to who we need to build bridges with. So that it ain't about kumbaya. Obviously, you can have the same goals and not like everybody. No one, there is no movement where everyone likes each other, but we have a common interest, ours. You would think that folk would understand that particular phenomenon and say, you know what, we got to put our petty egos aside and do what's best for all of us. Not some of us, all of us, preaching to the choir here, because that's how they do. Well, I've got my flock, and that's the only people that matter. It's like saying, like, if we got a million people listening to Smooth Drama, those are the only people we care about. Everybody else who don't listen, fuck them. That's pretty much what we have.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say fuck them, but, you know, I just look at it like they're missing out.
Right. But at the same time, that's where we are. You know, when you start talking about light skin, dark skin, and you start talking about the divisions as far as the people go, you have, well, if you're not down with my group, which is basically just gangbanging,
it's gang banging on a different level, right.
But it's gang banging nonetheless because it's my gang and nothing else. Period.
But wait a minute, I just want to just jump in here right quick. It's not just in America. Think about it. You go to the Latin country. Excuse me. You go to the Latin American country. You go over there to South America, Brazil. Brazil, Belize, you know, countries like that. You go to, you know, anywhere in the Caribbean, you know, especially Spanish-speaking countries, because they truly do not, for the most part, identify with their African side. A lot of them don't. I got Cuban, Dominican, and Puerto Rican friends that won't even identify with it.
Right, but. You're talking about you're going off of what you're taught. And on that note, for Mr. J, I'm Mr. F the N-word. This was
those pictures, folks.
Drama production. And you know Mr. J really, really, really wants those pictures. Smooth Drama is smoothdrama.com. Peace.
Talk to you later.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.